Today is Sunday, February 12th, 2017, and this...
There are 150,000 hotel rooms in Las Vegas, but only one of them received a flying hot tub.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 587.
Las Vegas, we are home!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this morning?
I am fine. How are you?
I am great. I'm happy to be back behind the microphone. I was working on show notes, and I was getting a little anxious to start recording.
Huh.
Lots of things to talk about. A week off does that for me frequently.
Yeah.
Yep. Makes me ready to jump back in and... Oh, sirens. Is the dog going to go nuts now?
I don't know. He's alert.
So yeah, we took last week off unexpectedly. We ended up having some family commitments and ended up, sometimes life gets in the way.
It was fun.
It was a great time. Had a good weekend. So, but it's good to be back, as I said, 16 times already in the first 30 seconds of the show. Some sad news before we jump into the news. Yeah. I just want to mention we received word last week that a listener and multiple time VIMF attendee, Eddie Kokan, passed away unexpectedly. And we're sorry to hear that we were losing a member of our little Las Vegas community. So just wanted to send out our thoughts and best wishes and condolences to his family and friends.
Yep. Very nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad that we won't be seeing him at
VIMF in the future. VIMF.
Yeah. So, so we've got a ton of news this week. I'm holding phone calls for next week just because so much to talk about. And then we're going to talk about a couple things from our trip as well. So that will be big fun. Okay. Let's jump in though. So this is... Oh, let me kick this off with one of these.
This week,
rest assured that I was on the internet within minutes, registering my disgust throughout the world.
In outrage.
This is bullshit!
All right, so... super fascinating to me, this next story. Okay, so first, bad news. Bad news... We can all share in it together. Many of us are very bummed out about this. Dupars at Golden Gate closed on Tuesday.
I'm already going through the pancake withdrawal shakes.
Yeah, I bet you are. I love the place. I think you had a greater affinity for the pancakes than I did.
Yes.
But I always loved going to Golden Gate to end a long drunken day or to start a fresh pre-drunken morning.
Mm-hmm.
Always very dependable.
They were more than just pancakes. They had omelets.
Sandwiches, burgers, you name it. They had everything. That's what I love.
Pie. Oh,
delicious pie too.
Good.
That's what I love about cafes and diners. You go in there and you don't know what you want. You look at the menu and there's always something there,
mm-hmm.
no matter what mood you're in. I love that. And they did everything really well that I ever had there. So, so it was announced on Tuesday in a statement by Golden Gate that it was going to be closing at midnight. I don't remember if it was supposed to be midnight that night or midnight the next night. Doesn't really matter because they ended up closing immediately upon the statement coming out. And the statement didn't say much, just said they were closing. There were financial issues and they had been having payment difficulties for an extended amount of time.
I hope they paid their employees before things went down.
They, from what I hear... I've received third party
intel.
Well, not even intel. It's people who've had contact with former employees have said, here's what I've heard.
Yeah.
From those employees. But again, it's like, okay, it's handed down several times. So, you know, some of it seems plausible.
Yep.
And I'll get to that in a second, but what's been interesting to watch with this, we've been doing this show for over 12 years. Mm-hmm. Never has a restaurant closing received this kind of response.
Yeah.
The Facebook group, but just Twitter everywhere. People are really bummed out. Mm-hmm. I'm bummed out. I'm always sorry to see something that I enjoy go away, but never to this level has it been like such a just despair almost. Mm-hmm. But then also what's been interesting too is to see some of the theories that have sprouted up. It's an odd thing. Usually a restaurant closes and that's about it. People are just like, oh, it went out of business. That's too bad.
Yeah.
There have been like, what's the real reason? Like, I was joking around on the Facebook group that the Illuminati were responsible. You know, just these ridiculous right. conspiracy theories. It doesn't get quite to that level. But the first reaction people had just based on the an assumption, I guess, was that they were late on their rent. That was dispelled later on in the day after it closed. There was a tweet from Golden Gate owner Derek Stevens who said he was sad and pissed about the situation, about the closing, and that the shrimp cocktail, the legendary Golden Gate shrimp cocktail, will return.
So you can take angry pictures with it.
I suspect it as much because that was around well before DuPars.
Yeah.
So that's a Golden Gate thing, not a DuPars thing. They just happen to be the current place that was serving it. Mm-hmm.
The distributor of the shrimp cocktail.
So that'll be back at some place. But then he also mentioned that this had nothing to do with rent. So apparently he was hearing those rumors too. The most ridiculous thing that I received,
I have a feeling he heard a lot that day.
I have a feeling too. Somebody passed along the rumor to me that they had heard. Again, this is I heard. Those are always fun.
I'm just telling you what I heard.
That this one I laughed at as soon as I saw it. That it would be reopening as part of the 18 Fremont project, which is the Las Vegas Club new place that will be built. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to be completed in like, what, 4 years or something? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense at all. A restaurant closing 4 years in advance to prepare for a new location across the street?
No.
So that was amusing to me. There was a theory that somebody passed along to me. Everybody's passing things along to me. Mm-hmm. A lot of emails this week. There was a website that reported that Golden Gate was probably putting in an additional restaurant space in the expansion that they're working on. So the former Le Bayou space and the alley in between, they are going to be building out. They're currently building out, and they're going to be putting in additional casino space. They've said probably about 100 slot machines or so. But the article said, but that space seems too big for just 100 slot machines. So there has to be a restaurant or something else going in. The fucking blueprints are online. You can look at them if you know. I mean, go to the city's website. Mm-hmm. They've been filed. It's not that hard. Do your fucking job, shitty writer. It's your favorite writer.
Oh, God, asshole.
That's what happens when you get paid $20 an article. You don't bother doing any research. Anyway, editorials are fun. Okay, so then, so anyway, ridiculous theories abound that additional space is all gaming. There's nothing else there. People wondering what the real reason is, which it closed, it went out of business, payment issues, which can mean a lot of things. It can mean you quit paying your suppliers. You know, eventually, if you're not paying the people who bring you the food, you're going to kind of have a bit of a problem running a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
That could be something, could be any number of things that you have to pay for, taxes. The one that I heard, okay, so I received, like I said, a couple reports from people who had contact with DuPars employees. One said mismanagement. Seems plausible. Mm-hmm. The other one said, and this would be a form of mismanagement, I guess, that employees were told by management that they couldn't afford the union fees. They hadn't been paying the union fees, which cover, you know, like insurance and stuff like that. So anyway, and I guess that came back to haunt them, where once you quit paying that for a certain amount of time, then
the union gets a little crabby with you.
I guess. So anyway, consider that speculation. It's not necessarily fact, but those things seem plausible to me. Mm-hmm. I felt as I was reading all the responses on Facebook, I'm like, oh, I need to talk these people off the ledge. I feel so bad. Some of them were a little like, oh, another favorite thing gone. And it is, but mm-hmm. you know, something new will come along. I forgot I was going to do this and I completely forgot until just now. Our friend John forwarded me a link to an old TripAdvisor forum discussion from 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was people up in arms over the closing of Bay City Diner in favor of Dupars. Bay City Diner was what was in that space before Dupars took it over.
And it's still etched on the glass.
It is. You can still see it in the windows. People were... This discussion was amazing because it was almost the same as the discussion now about Dupars closing. And yet Dupars has become just beloved.
Except Bay City Diner never had the signature pancakes.
No, but people apparently loved it based on this discussion.
They had the shrimp cocktail there, didn't they?
They had the shrimp cocktail at the deli in the back, which closed when they did renovations. So, no, that was a different thing. But anyway, it was funny to see the reactions.
I couldn't remember if the deli closed down and they moved the cocktail to the diner. And
no.
Yeah.
I think Dupars came first, I believe. I'm not 100% certain. Anyway, it was fun to see that. And I was going to pull... I wish I'd remembered. I was going to pull excerpts from that discussion and say, here's what people's responses, and then reveal this was actually from the thing before. So, you know, the lesson learned, which you've heard me say before, never get too attached to anything in Las Vegas because there's a good chance it's not going to be around for long. Things just don't last that long.
I had a ridiculous number of pancakes on our last visit.
Which is a good thing. You got your, I mean, you know, it's not like it's going to make up for never having them again, but it's good that you were able to enjoy them recently before the closing. So if there's something you really like, make sure to squeeze it into your trip because it might not be there when you come back. Mm-hmm. That's the lesson to be learned here.
Yes. I just feel bad for the employees.
Yes, as do I. Some of them had been there a long time.
Yeah. There were a lot of familiar faces when you would go in.
And yeah.
Yeah. So I just hope everybody lands on their feet.
Yep. There are other Dupars locations in California as well as at Suncoast, and they remain open. And several people are like, you can go to Suncoast. I'm not going to fucking Suncoast for pancakes. I don't care how good they are. You know my theory on that.
Yeah.
When I'm on vacation, time is more important than just about anything. And to go out of my way for something, there are some very, very good other options. We'll be spending more time probably at Eat for breakfast.
Yeah, we will. They have some very, very good food there.
Yes. So we're going to, it'll be just fine.
So
my condolences to everybody who's just at a loss over what to do with Dupars closing.
You were trying to add a silver lining in our household, as you often do, because you're my little ray of sunshine.
You know what? People are going to find that surprising. I do generally have a pretty positive outlook about things, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So, what did I say?
You said, look at this as an opportunity to branch out, because we were getting into a little bit of a rut, because Dupars was our go-to, like, breakfast, let's go to Dupars. Late night food, go to Dupars.
Yeah.
Which was great, because I loved it, and you loved it, and...
Convenience.
It was convenient, and...
You're right. It does shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of things that we were intending to do this trip that we did not as far as food during our most recent trip. And this will sort of force that issue of getting us to go to other places that we otherwise might not have squeezed in because we ended up going to Dupars 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
So,
again, enjoyed every time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So moving along.
And it will benefit the listeners of the show because then we'll have new stuff to talk about.
That's true. I am becoming more and more fascinated by the Facebook group is I'm finding it really interesting to watch people's responses to things on there and what things people get upset about and how people respond. It's just like I'm fascinated in the psychology behind how people express themselves and what people are thinking. And this one was a really good example. It's not saying anything bad about it. It's just interesting to watch what people are upset about or what bothers them the most. So anyway, and then just the whole what's the real reason thing, that was interesting to me. Restaurant closed, they had went out of business. It happens every day. All right, anyway, moving along, there's going to be a new restaurant opening across the street from the former Golden Gate location, the current Golden Gate location, the former Dupars location in the plaza. They announced it shortly.
Womp, womp.
They announced it shortly before the Dupars closing, so it has nothing to do with that, although they're certainly taking advantage of the Dupars closing to mention as often as possible on social media that they have a new place coming. March 3rd will be the opening of Brightside Breakfast and Burgers. It will be a quick casual restaurant, and they're saying, so I got the press release on this and I was very puzzled because they talked about how it's going to be a New York deli style restaurant, and they mentioned some of the food items, a lot of breakfast items, and I thought, okay, so New York delis are known for huge portions,
yeah,
and
Don't they have another restaurant that does that?
Exactly. I'm like, Hash House is known for gigantic portions, and they specialize in breakfast items. And isn't this a little close to be competing? Like, that's Hash House is also located in Plaza. But then there were some articles afterwards that made it sound like, no, it's not necessarily the portion thing. It's just going to be like the New York's deli style. So you go up to the counter and order, and then they bring the food to you, or they have some grab-and-go options as well. But in terms of portion size, they're looking at offering something a little bit smaller. They'll have both seating and takeout options, as I mentioned. You can, what was I going to say? They're going to be open every day, 7 a.m. to midnight during the week and 2 a.m. closing time on weekends. It's the former Island Sushi space right off the casino floor.
Okay.
So I'll be up for trying this. I don't know. I don't like Plaza all that much. Just I don't enjoy spending time there all that much for a variety of reasons, but I'll give it a go. We'll see if it's anything. It might be a good quick option if you just want to go in and grab a bagel. Although they have a little coffee stand in their lobby that's super cheap for stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because I went over there one time when you were sleeping in and I just needed... I didn't need a full breakfast. I just wanted a bagel and cream cheese. Mm-hmm. I went over there. It was like $2 or something. So this will probably be more expensive than that. And
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Hmm. So we'll see how that does with Plaza. You never know. It might do just fine. It may be closed in 6 months.
Right.
Although that's kind of true most, a lot of places. But Plaza had was gone through kind of a churn. They've been stable for a while now since the renovations. They haven't closed anything lately, but for a while there, it seemed like every other week they were closing something.
That one bar.
Beer Garden? How does that stay open? Oh, not Beer Garden?
No.
Oh, I know what you mean. The one on the casino floor that was the mini golf place?
Yeah.
And then it was...
That went through like five iterations.
It was a comedy club for a while, and then they just walled it off. They're like, fuck it, we're not even going to use this space. It's haunted.
We're done trying. Yeah.
All right. Since we're talking about downtown, let's just fire through a couple other downtown items. There's another new restaurant coming. We discussed it quite a while ago. Atomic Liquors, the beloved bar on Fremont Street, is expanding. They're adding a restaurant space next door, and that's going to be called Atomic Kitchen. They've been working on it for a long time, and they have announced they're shooting for a late February or early March opening. They posted some pictures on Facebook. It looks really nice. So I'm looking forward to trying this during a future trip. We will discuss it more when we have a menu and additional details. Neonopolis, that's always a fun thing to talk about. The biggest waste of space in Las Vegas. There used to be a bar there called Drink and Drag. We enjoyed it. We went there once and they had drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
And a little overpriced on the drinks for Neonopolis, but it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They have bowling alleys and... I don't know. It was just kind of a cool place. So it didn't last that long. It closed down quite a while ago, and there were some documents filed with the city recently that indicate it's going to be reopening not as a drag queen bar, but as something else, another type of nightclub. No details on when it's going to reopen or what exactly it's going to be. It was pretty much just basic details in order to get approval to reopen this space as a nightclub. The plan showed no significant design changes, so it's probably going to be, it is going to be exactly the same layout, the square bar, bowling again. Mm-hmm. They'll probably just...
Drunk bowling.
Drunk bowling's always fun. They'll probably paint the place, give it a facelift as far as that, but they're not doing any construction. So once we get more information on what exactly this nightclub is going to be and when it's going to open, we'll report further on this as well. Again, Neonopolis. So, you know, once the opening date hits, the countdown is on to closing because nothing lasts very long there either.
Yeah.
Except for
Banger Brewing.
Banger Brewing, Heart Attack Grill, Denny's seem to be hanging around and that's about it. So speaking of, since I just mentioned Heart Attack Grill, we mentioned a few weeks ago that they opened a new location on the Strip in the former Pete Rose Bar and Grill space at Hawaiian Marketplace. That closed in, I think it was only open like a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Closed already. So it works well in Neonopolis, but for whatever reason, not so much at Hawaiian Marketplace. We walked by there
and there was nobody
in the place. So I'm not too shocked, I guess, but anytime something closes this quickly, it's surprising.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. No more Heart Attack Grill.
At least on the Strip.
At least on the Strip. They still have it downtown.
If you want to go to a wacky place where you can
get spanked by people in nurses' outfits. Yep. It's wacky. I'm not big on wacky at my restaurants. Okay. So much to talk about today. This is another fun one. we've been talking a long time about the NFL stadium and the Raiders possibly moving to Las Vegas. And as frequently is the case, I've been very skeptical about the whole thing. Some people are like, I think a lot of people in Las Vegas are super excited at the prospects of having a football team, mm-hmm. rightly so. But kind of a major step backwards about a week and a half ago. Their stadium deal is comprised of the ownership of the Raiders providing, I think, $500 million. I don't know if it's the state, the county, I don't know what the combination is. But anyway, there'll be funding through like hotel room taxes and stuff for mm-hmm. another $750 million. And then there's a big gap there of $650 million that was going to be filled by Sheldon Adelson, who owns Venetian and Palazzo. He has pulled out of the deal, which isn't a surprise. This whole structure is really weird because the NFL doesn't allow ownership from casino owners. So his involvement was always a little weird to begin with. Mm-hmm. But he was going to be owning apparently part of the stadium, but not, I don't know, very weird. But anyway, he pulled out of the deal, was not happy with the negotiations with the team and some of the things they had done. The team had been saying that it didn't matter if he was involved or not because Goldman Sachs was going to be funding regardless of his involvement. But as soon as he pulled out, they said, no, that wasn't true. Our involvement was contingent on his involvement. So there's a $650 million hole in the stadium funding. They've made statements, they being the Raiders, that, oh, it's not going to be a problem. We'll get funding elsewhere. It's like, really? Where's that going to come from? In Las Vegas, but not from casino ownership?
Yeah.
I'm even more skeptical than I was before that they're going to pull this off, but who are these companies who are just dying to dump $650 million into a stadium with shaky return on investment? You know, like how Sheldon wasn't comfortable with the way he was going to be getting his money back, if at all. Mm-hmm. Why would you do that? So we'll see, but they were going to have a vote on this, the NFL owners who have to approve the move from Oakland to Las Vegas for the team. They were going to vote on it in March. That's still scheduled to happen, but I have a feeling that unless a miracle comes along and they actually line up dependable funding, they're not going to want to put it forward to a vote because it's going to get voted down and then it's dead. I suspect they'll be postponing that. Regardless, as we've mentioned before, there will be a new stadium. If the NFL stadium falls through, have I been saying NFL or NHL? I feel like I've been saying NHL.
I think you've been saying NFL.
Anyway, the NFL stadium, if that falls through, then the $750 million from the room tax will remain, but it will go to UNLV to build a new football stadium for their team, but it mm-hmm. won't be in the same location. It'll be right. much smaller, and
okay.
they still have to raise another, I don't know, $300 million or $400 million mm-hmm. in funding, but colleges can do, universities can do that. They've got mm-hmm. big donors, so anyway, it's a matter of what form it's going to take. I guess that the whole NFL thing, the way the stadium bill was written, they have another year to figure this out. So there'll probably be a bunch of bullshit for another year about the team possibly moving and then it not happening. But I don't know. Maybe it will. We'll see. The chances are looking less and less. We're probably less than 50-50 at this stage, I would say. All right. Speaking of arenas and major event venues, we discussed a venue that had been announced way back in May, again tied to Las Vegas Sands and Sheldon Adelson. They had announced that they were going to be building a music venue, rather large music venue, behind Venetian. Behind Venetian's, there's a Wynn employee parking garage, but then mm-hmm. Venetian or Las Vegas Sands owns the land behind the Wynn parking garage. It's a weird chunk of land, and they're planning on building this arena there. And there hadn't really been any news since it was announced in May, but this week Madison Square Garden Company announced it had acquired the majority ownership of Tao Group. Tao Group manages a bunch of nightclubs, not only in Las Vegas, but elsewhere. They have Tao, Beauty in Essex, Marquee, Lavo, other restaurants, nightclubs, blah, blah, blah. In the press release and the announcement about this, they announced that Madison Square Garden Company was involved and was planning on putting up this new venue in Las Vegas for concerts. So I'm just mentioning this in that we haven't discussed in a long time. It's still alive. It's still happening. There's just not a timeline that's been made public yet. So I'm very curious to see how that unfolds. Location's a little bit weird. I'm wondering how convenient or inconvenient it will be to get to it with that parking garage in between. But I'm always happy to see new concert venues because I like music. And this one is like going to be big enough to have like arena sized acts there.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember exactly the capacity, but it's more than 10,000. But then they can also structure it so that it's for smaller theater sized shows as well. So that flexibility will be good. All right. Couple more, and I'm holding some of the news. We have so much to talk about. Some of it I'm waiting till next week to discuss. That's how action-packed the past 2 weeks have been. All right, Brand Steakhouse is a Monte Carlo venue. It's been around for a long time, and it is closing. As you know, Monte Carlo is going through a bunch of changes because they are transitioning to a new name and design. It's going to be called Park MGM. Several different restaurants in other parts of the property are closing or changing. And Brand is apparently one of them. So May 11th is the end of the line for that steakhouse. And, you know, once I don't know what the timeline is for when they're expecting the whole renovation to be done. But certainly there will be a lot of new restaurants and bars and other things to discuss as plans are made public and new places open. So that'll be fun. It's always good to talk about new things. I prefer talking about new things rather than closings because it's more...
It's more optimistic.
It's more enjoyable. Although a lot of times with the new stuff, it's like, no, this fucker's not going to last.
So. Nope, no interest in seeing this.
Yeah. All right. Monte Carlo, speaking of no interest in seeing this, Monte Carlo also announced this week they have opened a new exhibit through 2017. It is outside on the Boulevard Plaza, and it's a series of 3D murals, and people can pose for pictures with them. So it's kind of like, it's from an organization that does those 3D chalk drawings.
Oh, yeah.
But this is not on the sidewalk. These are upright murals. Mm-hmm. And right now I think they have three of them. So one of them is like a giant shark and a little dock. And you can stand on the little dock, or it looks like you're standing on the little dock. And it looks like the shark is about to attack you. And so wackiness ensues in your photo. Again, wacky. They're going to be adding additional murals throughout. There's another one where it's like a giant glass dome thing with bugs in it, and you can act like you're trapped in the glass. It's zany. I think it's free though, so if you want to go have your picture taken with some stupid murals, you can do it over in Monte Carlo.
Are they well off the sidewalk and out of the way of traffic, so you don't have increased moseying in that area?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think there's a lot of foot traffic. Well, maybe there is. It's by their shops and stuff. But I believe it's outdoors, so take a look at that. I'm sure that the Facebook group will be home of wacky photos from the Trick Eye Experience exhibit as soon as people begin wandering over there and having their pictures taken. Mm-hmm. All right.
Just to torture you.
Yeah, people like to do that. It won't.
Me included.
Huh? I know you do. All right. There's been a show, I believe it was at... It might have been when it was the quad/the link, and more recently at the Flamingo, a guy named Jeff Civilico. His show is called Comedy in Action. That has closed at Flamingo. According to the Review Journal, there are plans to reopen it at Paris in the Anthony Cools Theater in late March. However, it's only going to be one day a week, which seems like kind of a weird schedule, but Wednesday, like the least appealing, one of the least appealing of days for like middle of the week. I feel bad for Jeff. Can't be a good deal. He can't be thrilled with this. But of course, they've spun it in such a way that he can focus on some of his other things. He's doing some TV hosting and stuff. So,
are you saying Wednesday's bad for shows, or just a bad day of the week in general?
It's a fine. I don't have anything against Wednesday, but it's in the middle of the week.
Hump day.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just seems like weekends, you know, that's kind of, you would think.
I just wanted to throw out the most cliched thing I could.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's great. Maybe Wednesday is a wonderful day for shows in Las Vegas, and Jeff is going to make a ton of money, but I don't know. It seems like being relegated to Wednesdays wouldn't be a good sign for the future of your show, at least not with Caesar's properties. But again, they spun it in such a way that he made it sound like he was happy. So anyway, if you've seen that show or if you had desired to see that show, you'll still be able to at some point, but only if you're there on a Wednesday. All right. Moving along. This is a new thing. This is a new segment, kind of. It's a replacement of an old segment
Okay.
with a new spin on it. So people have been wondering, since some former things that we had have gone away, how can they support the podcast? And we've had a lot of ideas. We're going to have a new one again next week. I just haven't gotten it finalized. But we do have a new one replacing our former Amazon thing before Amazon kicked us out so rudely. I don't know if this is going to be a thing or not. I have no idea if anybody uses this to an extent. Well, I know people use it, but is it to an extent where cool, but that won't qualify for everybody else.
That's true.
If you guys buy stuff on eBay, do you guys buy stuff on eBay? I think a lot of our listeners probably do because there's so much collectible, cool Las Vegas stuff available on eBay.
Satin casino jackets.
Good example. So anyway, we're going to have an eBay item of the week for a while and see if it takes off. So this week's eBay item of the week is, I'm looking for Las Vegas stuff for right now. I don't know if I don't know exactly how this whole thing works, if I'll be able to see all the stuff listeners buy like I did with Amazon. And then I can do some like crazy listener, if we can, that's always fun. Mm-hmm. So I hope so, but I'm not sure yet. So for right now, I'm just using Las Vegas collectible stuff. If you miss the Sahara and wish you had a piece of Sahara in your own house, you can. There's actually a bunch of things, but this one is the one that caught my eye. It's a 71-inch long Sahara entrance sign. So this is a big piece of hardware you can have in your garage or your house or something. I think the price on it right now is like $400 and some, but if you want a piece of history, go to eBay. I will link to it in the show notes. If you're going to bid on or buy something at eBay, please click through the link at 500bymidnight.com before doing so. It's an easy, great way to support the podcast. And I don't think they have a problem with me saying that. I have asked them and they have not responded. Well, they have responded, but they haven't answered my question yet. So we'll probably be kicked out next week. All right. So yes.
We want you to go to our site, but don't promote it on your show.
Yeah, so weird. Anyway, go to eBay. Go to our website, click on the eBay link if you're going to buy something, and we get a small cut without you spending anything additional. Okay. We're going to do a Facebook group post of the week, too. I went with some photos that were posted by Jackie on the group, I don't know, maybe about a week ago, of renovated rooms at Harrah's.
They looked very nice.
They looked very nice. I was pleasantly surprised. Harrah's, you know, kind of gets a bad rap for a good reason because it's been kind of run down and the rooms are kind of blah. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's an old Holiday Inn, and that's what it looks like. And the new rooms look good. So I hope they do the whole thing and not just, you know, one tower. That's the thing, like Bally's, another example. The tower they renovated looks great. Yeah. The tower that they didn't, a little run down, not so great. So I think Harrah's might be the same way for a while. But if you get one of the renovated rooms, they're looking pretty damn good. So thanks to Jackie for sharing those. I'll post a link to that Facebook discussion in the show notes as well. And as I said, the Facebook group has become a microcosm. There's so much shit going on I don't understand, and I'm getting it. The Facebook group fascinates me lately. You know, I go through these cycles for a while. Yeah. I love the Facebook group. So much good information. Then on another day, I'll be like, oh, fucking morons are pissing me off. No offense. I love you guys. But sometimes some of the shit that gets posted on there is just ridiculous. Okay, so lately, I'm just fascinated by it. I see it like this. There's things happening out there in the world that I have no connection to, and I'm getting a glimpse of them on the Facebook group. Example.
Yes, please.
Within about 2 or 3 days of each other, two different people joined the group, brand new, probably have no idea what the podcast is. Again, why are you joining the 500 by Midnight podcast fan club? That's how the thing is titled, if you don't even know what that is. That's bizarre to me. But anyway, a couple of people joined, and their first post within minutes of joining was, I'm going to Las Vegas. One of them was, I like to go to Las Vegas by myself. I'd love to meet up with people. That is okay. That's a little strange. I get that when people have been on the group for a while,
yeah,
and they feel part of the community,
yep,
they're like, hey, I'm going to Vegas. Anybody else
anybody
in the group
going to be there at the same time?
I get that. That makes sense to me. But then the second one joined. She was already in Las Vegas and said, I'm here all by myself because my friends don't get in until tomorrow. Just wondering if anybody wants to meet up. And I'm immediately thinking, and I couldn't resist. I had to ask, like, what? How did you come to this group for this? And it was a flimsy response, but most likely perfectly lovely person. No, my mind though immediately goes to, is she a scammer? Is she a prostitute? I mean, I immediately think the worst possible things because I don't get that. It seems so foreign to me to just jump on the internet to a random place that you've never been before and say, hey, who wants to hang out? I don't know. Am I nuts?
Well, yeah, but not for that reason.
Okay. So I find it fascinating. So if you want to just observe and see all kinds of shit happening that you had no idea happens, mm-hmm. you can get all kinds of information on the Facebook group other than just helpful Las Vegas tips. Although that certainly helped. That's certainly great too. Lots of good information being exchanged. I get so happy when somebody asks a reasonable Las Vegas question and people provide helpful information, and yet everybody's not repeating the same thing the first person said, because that gets annoying too. I have so many issues, people. They all know. They all know.
Oh, no, they don't.
You know. They know. They get a glimpse. They get a glimpse. All right.
Oh, you keep it entertaining.
What do I keep entertaining?
Life.
Oh, then people get mad at me for shit on there too, but I'm not going to get into that. Okay.
Yeah.
Moderating a Facebook group is an interesting thing. That's all I'll say. Let's talk about our Las Vegas trip, which was filled with happiness and wonderfulness and goodness.
And joy.
We're going to talk about a couple different things we did that we had not previously done. Namely, some activities at MGM Grand. We lifted over to Topgolf, which is a new venue behind the MGM. What's the back of the MGM Grand property behind the Signature Towers? And I wanted to check that out, see what it was all about.
And it's its own thing, but they have a shuttle running from
I know.
The lobby.
That's wonderful. We took the shuttle back at the end of our adventure.
Because it was windy and cold.
And it was there when we walked out the door. So
there
let's go outside and see if the shuttle's there, and if not, we'll just grab another car. And it was there, and I was thrilled to get that free mm-hmm. five-minute ride back to the lobby. So the property, like I said, it's on Colville Lane by MGM Grand. And what it is, it's a golf facility, but not like a golf course. It's like a driving range game. So they have bays that overlook a giant green surface. And you hit the balls at different targets. And the balls have little... You're smiling just because I said balls. You're such a child. Your golf balls have sensors in them. So all the scoring is automatic. If you hit your target or different parts of the target, then it scores and you can see how you're doing. And there are different games where you aim at different targets and blah, blah, blah. I can't believe you still think balls is that hilarious. It's three levels high. All three levels have golf bays. The pricing is on the website. I won't go through it because there's all these tiers depending on what day you're there, what time you arrive, blah, blah, blah. But it's cheap entertainment. We did not do the actual golfing because... we just wanted to check it out, but mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to trying this sometime, trying an actual golf game, even though I'm sure I'd be horrible at it. It looked fun.
I would as well.
But if you're there like during the week, early in the day, it's only $30, and that's for up to six people per bay for an hour. That's really cheap entertainment for mm-hmm. an hour in Las Vegas. Up to $90 an hour for the third level, which is a little more expensive. That wasn't even open when we were there, but... and that's during their prime time hours, probably like weekend nights or something. But again, $90 on a Saturday night for six people, that's pretty damn cheap too.
Do you want to talk about the people who bring their own clubs?
There were people bringing their own club. You don't have to, and there's no additional charge to use theirs, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I it's a game. It's not like... it strikes me odd that people would bring their own golf clubs to Topgolf. I think it's odd that people travel with their golf clubs when they're just going to play.
Mm-hmm.
That seems weird to me because I'm not a golfer. I don't get it. And I suppose there's a difference in playing with your own equipment and it's that, but it seems like an
you,
awful
you
big,
like to play with your own equipment.
It seems like an awful big pain in the ass to travel with your own golf clubs. And how
sometimes it's fun to play with others' equipment too.
And how good are you that you really need that that's going to make that big of a difference? Like, so you're going to suck on a foreign golf course, but you've got your own equipment, so it's better. I don't know. Clearly, I'm not a golfer, and I just insulted a bunch of people who are. But if you choose to travel with your golf clubs, more power to you. But then bring them to this, where you're playing, like, the equivalent to mini golf.
Mm-hmm.
Like a driving range mini golf kind of thing, and you bring your own equipment. That's really bizarre to me.
Do you bring your own stuff to putt-putt golf, too?
I know. Yeah. That would be. Yeah, I wonder that. Does somebody show up at a mini golf course with their own putter?
Yeah. I don't know.
You're not going to make a joke about putter, my 12-year-old wife?
I'm not.
All right.
I'm letting that one go by.
So we did not golf, but we did. We wandered throughout the whole facility just to take a look, and we had some food and some drinks and had a wonderful time. There are multiple bars on all three levels. There is a small pool. You were expecting the pool to be bigger,
you said? I was. I'm not sure why, but I was.
Yeah, it's pretty small, and I think there's a hot tub or two, and you can watch. Like for sporting events, it would be kind of cool. There's a huge projected TV. There's a bunch of TV screens, but then there's a huge projection as well on one of the walls. And that whole thing is weird to me, too. That whole, like, going to a pool that's not part of your hotel or something.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if people do it. I think, did our friend debutante Melanie do that?
I believe so.
I know. I think she said she had a good time doing it, so... tons and tons of space for socializing. So this venue, obviously, it's for, you know, people who just want to go and play the game or whatever, but I've got to think that a huge part of their business is through corporate events. Perfectly set up for that kind of thing. Yep. If there's a convention in town and they need to do an off-site fundraiser or off-site event, social event, this is awesome for that, because you've got your golf bays for people who want to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to have a certain number of people who aren't really that interested in that. Tons of space for them to hang out, socialize, yep, have drinks. I could just picture like some of these open spaces where there's just seating, that they would maybe set up a DJ there and have, or, you know, a small band or something. They do have space for bands too. They have concerts there and stuff. But anyway, I could see like appetizers being circulated. I could, mm-hmm, this is like, I can just picture this as a conference event, and it would be really great because there's stuff for everybody to do.
Yep.
They also have some of the, as we like to call them, millennial games. Cornhole. Nothing?
Old cornhole.
There we go. And there might have been foosball or something, too. There's some of that kind of stuff around. Let's see. What else? So food. We ate at the bar. We got a couple appetizers, a couple drinks. We had... two food items, the sea bass sliders and the short rib tacos.
Both delicious. Would totally have them again.
The food was outstanding.
And then we were talking to the shuttle driver about food, and he was recommending like three or four more things that we thought, oh, that sounds delicious. We'll have to go back.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff on the menu looked really good, and the quality of the two items we had was very, very good. So I would not be opposed. I don't see us spending a ton of time at this place, but I could see going back at some point, especially if we were with some people who wanted to check it out, or if somebody wanted to play. If anybody, like, from, I've got my guy trips, you know, every other year. I'm like, this would be really cool if anybody in my family enjoyed golf at all. We'll never go there.
No.
And if we did, nobody would play. But, like, it's cool if you're there for, I've got to think during March Madness they're going to make a killing.
Yeah.
People are going to, groups of guys are going to go and hang out and play and drink and eat. And just, man, cool. Our drinks, you had the strawberry jalapeno margarita, $14.
Delicious.
Bucks. Oh, the food items were 15 and 13. Our drinks were 14 and 12. Yes, I had a sip of yours. It was very, very good. I love when you just get that like smell of jalapeno off of a cocktail. Really, really effective. I had a tipsy Palmer, which is like an Arnold Palmer with booze in it. That was delicious as well. I think, I don't know. I personally was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
Me too.
When we left, we were both like, well, it was really fun. And we didn't spend a ton of time there. We were maybe there 45 minutes or so just to check it out and hang out. And
service was great. The food was outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. I highly recommend it, especially if you are into... the idea of playing their games.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like again, I continue to be surprised by the pricing on it, just because Las Vegas tends to be expensive for a lot of attractions and activities and stuff. And this, you can hang out there for a couple hours pretty cheap and have a good time. The food, you know, that the pricing on that wasn't necessarily super cheap. It ended up being about $70 with tip, I think, when we walked out of there, but no complaints. It was a lovely time. All right. So then we took the free shuttle back to MGM Grand, as we mentioned. Had a nice, it was just us on the shuttle, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good driver. And so they have, if you're wondering where to go, the main lobby right off registration, there's a little Topgolf area there. Like a little, I don't know if they have a desk. I think you may even be able to like sign in before you go, or, you know, I don't know if you can pay in advance or what. But anyway, it's clearly marked. It's not hard to find. So just look for the Topgolf area right off of the lobby and they'll take you over there. I think it runs every, what do you say, 10, 15 minutes, something like that? So that's cool. When we got to MGM Grand, we wanted to check out something else new, kind of similar in terms of it being an attraction and a social gathering spot. It is called Level Up. It's the former Rainforest Cafe space. And this is designed as a social gaming space. So I've been curious about this because it's a combination of gambling and non-gambling, where they have all those, like we said, millennial games. They've got pool and foosball. And
did they have cornhole?
I'm not sure. They may have.
Shuffleboard, definitely.
But we wanted to see what that consisted of and whether or not, you know, it's obviously aimed at mainly at a little bit younger audience than us. But we just wanted to see what it was and whether or not this one would surprise us. It struck me as, so it includes a bar and then, like I said, the non-gambling stuff. But then there's gambling stuff interspersed. Having read about this and seen some pictures, I was expecting less gambling than there was. I thought it was going to be more of the pool table, yeah. Non-gambling. But there was a lot of the space was dedicated to gambling. There was that large, in the back, there was the large stadium gambling mm-hmm. area. So that was like multiple rows of tables and gambling stations where you can gamble on what are typically table games, but there are electronic versions. So there's like a roulette station, and I don't know if they had craps and blackjack, I think. Mm-hmm. But that took up a lot of space. I was surprised that that was as big of a part of the venue as it was. It wasn't active when we were there. We were there early in the day. There weren't a ton of people around, and few of them, if any. There were a few people playing Sigma Derby. They were gambling, but other than that, I didn't see many people gambling. There were a few people playing pool as well. It struck me as an odd venue.
Yeah.
So, like, that part where they had the stadium gambling, it seems like they put a lot of effort into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then other parts of it seem kind of unfinished.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Sigma Derby thing is, like, it's there on the floor, but then there's nothing else really around it. And the floor seemed like it wasn't unfinished. I mean, this was all intentional, but it was like a concrete floor, but it looked like it was not.
Like it was waiting for carpet or something?
Yeah, I don't think it is, though. I think that's just the style they chose because that's kind of a thing right now. But it reminded me of like going to Ellis Island where it's like, are they expecting to hose off at the end of the night? I don't know. We didn't even bother having a drink there. We just kind of walked through and went, oh, okay.
Okay, here, this is a thing.
It wasn't inviting to me.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the best way of phrasing it. So, oh, and I should mention, going back to Topgolf, they do a video poker at the bar, if anybody's wondering. I don't know if you get comped. I don't know. We didn't play, but they do a video poker at the bar. So anyway, they have a video poker at the bar at Level Up as well. It felt to me kind of like, I think I jokingly called this Dave and Buster's at one point, and mm-hmm. it did feel like, oh, it's an arcade, but with gambling mixed in, a little heavier on the gambling than I expected. I don't know. I still don't really know what to make of this place. I'm curious to see if at night it's busier, if it's doing the business they intended. I'm not sure. It seemed to me almost like they had a board, like a meeting. It was designed by committee, mm-hmm. which is, you know, you get a minivan when you design a car by committee. Like, it's super functional in a way, but nobody really wants one. I kind of have a feeling this might be like that. Time will tell. Do you have any desire to even go anywhere near this place?
No, it was there. It was just there. I mean, I know it's not marketed to me, but it was just... But Topgolf isn't marketed to me either, and I had a great time.
Yeah, that's kind of why I paired these together. Not only were they both at MGM, but I felt like they were kind of a similar, kind of going for the same thing. One would be fun for everybody, and the other one probably a little bit more niche.
Oh, and what was with those tacky-ass shops that are near there? Like the...
Oh, yeah. So right by the... What else? Is the sports book there?
Mm-hmm.
They've put in a bunch around the edge of...
between Centrifuge and this...
It's like around the backside of Centrifuge, which is a bar that's been there for a long time. They have all these little kiosky shops. It almost feels like a really small inside version of Grand Bazaar shops.
Yeah.
Super shanty. That surprised me.
It just looked low rent. It just...
Like, what can we fill these space with? How can we rent this out to somebody that so it might make some money? That's all that they were going for. Like, mm-hmm. it doesn't fit in...
Yeah. Wasn't it super generic? Wasn't there a store called Hats or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, Grand Bazaar shops inside. And not as many. It's much smaller. Probably half a dozen shops or something, but it seemed very kiosky.
Yeah. It just low didn't rent. Go.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yep, yep, yep. So there you go. So those are experiences at MGM Grand. We still have a bunch of trip stuff to talk about in the coming weeks, but trying to extend the fun of our trip by talking about it over an extended amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then next week we're going to have a bunch. We'll get caught up on phone calls. I'm hoping it's kind of a light news week because I held off a few news items. I've got a bunch of phone calls that I've got to pull off the voicemail and voicemail line and more trip stuff. So we've had a bunch of karma donations, including a few new recurring supporters of the show. So I'd like to thank all of our karma donators, including recurring monthly donations from Mark, Brian, Kelly, and Tom.
Thanks
to all of you. We do appreciate your ongoing support. We have a karma donation from Greg. And Greg said, I'm sending you the usual pre-trip donation, even though you spent the whole show pissing on Steely Dan, you hater. And fucking Britney Spears, give me a fucking break. He did clarify he just wanted to be the guy who gave a shit for that. So aww. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Appreciate it. A karma donation from Robert. Thank you, Robert. You. Rebecca with a karma donation for a trip that is ending today. Hope that was wonderful. She's planning on going to Momofuku, so I'd love to have a review of that because we haven't really heard much about that restaurant yet and some other places. So hope you had a wonderful trip, Rebecca.
Yes.
Kenneth with a karma donation for a Las Vegas bachelor party coming up later this week. He said Sky Point to for Dupars. Get that? Like the
yeah. Yeah.
Okay. He was really looking forward to trying the pancakes. Yeah, I know. People who didn't get there are kind of bummed out. They didn't get to try them. It'll become one of those things too, where it's even it already is probably like gets more love than they're great.
They are great.
But you know, when you hear about how great they are for a long time, there's no way they're going to live up to expectations.
Right.
Now that they're gone, it's going to be like, oh my God, those pancakes. I once had a plate of pancakes from Dupars that before I ate them, they crawled under the table and sucked me off.
I was going to say, I once had a plate of pancakes and I had an orgasm for 30 days.
That's the legendary status they'll take on now. But it's only at that location, which is closed. You can't go to Suncoast. Anyway.
It's not the same.
No. All right. Thanks, Kenneth. For that, hope you have a great trip. Mark said it's been a long 3.5 years since our last trip to Vegas. Now we're just 1 week away from trip number 5. Just want to drop you a little karma donation. Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate that. And Steven said, thank you guys for the entertaining and informative podcast. Heading to Las Vegas tomorrow with my wife. Very much needed break. Needed a little positive karma. Wish you luck. Hope you have a great trip. And thank you very much.
Good luck to everyone.
We appreciate all the support.
Hope
thanks, guys.
Have a great time on your trips and have a good time on your upcoming trips.
All right. Our website is at 500bymidnight.com. You'll find our show notes. You'll find that eBay link. You can send us Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We would love to hear from you at 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. We are also both on the Facebook group at different times and look forward to observing all of your behaviors so I can overanalyze them because I find everything you do fascinating. Am I psycho?
No.
I feel like I'm... I don't know why I'm so obsessed with behaviors on the Facebook group the last few months, but really this week, the last 2 weeks especially. That whole thing with the joining the group and then asking to hang out with people really threw me for a loop.
Mm-hmm. I can see you're still...
I know.
You're still baffled by that.
I am. I think, is it a generational thing?
Maybe.
Because somebody did point out to me that, like, so... It's the Tinder thing. It's like you end up meeting up with people on an app and you don't have any. But at least with the app, you know that other people are in it for the same thing as you. Mm-hmm. Where you just join a Facebook group, that's a big assumption to make. What if it was all senior citizens on our group as opposed to the only 35% senior citizens? I'm putting myself in that group. I don't know. Oh, anyway.
And it's also, is it an introvert thing too?
What?
Being
active on the Facebook group.
Well, that and just putting yourself out there.
In that way? I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, 702-866-9494 is the voicemail line. Call us. Let us know your Las Vegas reviews and stuff. We'd love to hear from you. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it. Thanks for putting up with our week off. I know that bummed some people out, but sometimes we got to live our lives.
Yep. Sometimes you have to leave the house once in a while.
We'll be back next week. And I assume we'll be back next week. I shouldn't make such promises.
I'm thinking so.
I think we'll be back next week. All right. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.